right, it's 93.7 WEEI. Rich Schertenlieb, Ken Laird, and Ted Johnson. We are going to have in just a moment from Yahoo Sports, Tom Haberstroh. He wrote that great article.
Tom Haberstroh?
Haber.
Oh, Haber.
Yeah, Haberstroh.
Dude, it's just unbelievable, man. No opinions. It was all facts in there. And you guys are twisting the truth, man.
It's, hey, he left out the record when Tatum sat, which was pretty good last year.
He's just giving you just data. Data. That's all he's doing.
The article starts off, and it's really just a great way to start it, because he's talking about, he goes, pop quiz, who is the best player in the NBA from 2011 to 2021?
LeBron James.
And he goes, no, it's not LeBron James. No, 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 no. Steph Curry. No, not Kevin Durant, not James Harden or Draymond Green. And he goes, you're going to want to sit down for this. It was Danny Green.
It was Matt Dellavedova. He said his plus minus was the best.
Well, it's great, because he said, that's right, because nobody won more combined regular season and playoff games from 2012 to 2021. In games that Green played, his teams went 622 to 256. Mm-hmm. And when he goes, all right, which brings us to Jaylen Brown and his viral tweet on Saturday, and he quotes it, nobody has won more combined regular season and playoff games since I entered the league 10 years ago. Right. And he's basically saying, well, that means nothing.
Right.
It means nothing. That is not an individual stat. That is because you are on very good teams. And that's why he compared it to Danny Green.
Right.
Once again, he is so good at some of these arguments. Mm. And he goes, and you know, one by one.
Poor Danny Green.
I mean, even Danny Green would admit that he wasn't the best player of that era. I think you would, you know, we've had Danny Green on before. Yeah, and I brought that up to him, but like, oh, yeah, no, I'm not as good as LeBron. But the on-off splits, he talks about that, about just how much better the team is when he's not on the floor as opposed to when he's on the floor. It's kind of wild when you read it. You got him?
Okay. Surprising, huh?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're very glad to have him on. From Yahoo Sports, Tom Haberstroh, he has written the article that we've been talking about for a lot of the show today, titled, Did the Celtics Give Away Jaylen Brown? Why Analytics Don't See Philly's New Star as Elite of Elite. Tom, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So, Tom, after going through, well, first of all, what kind of response are you getting from this article from Celtics fans?
A lot of it is, thank you for writing this, because it's the only thing getting me through this trade.
Yeah, I believe it.
Right. I mean, it is, right. It's kind of strange. It's like once he's gone, you know, because nobody here can understand it. I know when it broke yesterday, we're like, Paul George, I can't believe this. You know, you need someone to tell you, well, maybe it's not that bad when you take a look at it. And I have to be honest, you know, I was very upset about the trade, but I read your article, and by the end of it, I mean, you should truly be a lawyer. It is a really good case that you have made that proves that maybe Jaylen's not the guy that we thought he was as Celtics fans.
Well, yeah, I keep seeing that he's a top 10 player, he's a finals MVP, but as we see with this trade return from the Celtics, that they got Paul George's 2 years remaining on his contract and two first round picks, it's clear that the contract that Jaylen Brown has when he's being paid over the next 3 years, $180 million, far outweighs the on-court impact. And you can point to his scoring average and his career-high numbers and the 56 wins that the Celtics won this year and say, hey, that's a top 10 player. But the scoreboard disagrees. When he's on the floor, the Celtics offense isn't as good. Part of that is because he takes more two-pointers than any player in the NBA, but he shoots below average on those two-pointers. He misses more twos than any player in the league on average per game. And a lot of that inefficiency has suffered the Celtics offense. When he's off the floor, suddenly they're shooting better. The ball is moving more. And I think it can be pointed to he's a really high-usage, high-volume guy that soaked up a lot of possessions for the Celtics. But when Peyton Pritchard gets the ball or Derek White gets more of the opportunities, or you see Jason Tatum in games that JB was not playing over the years, a lot of the guys around Jaylen Brown seem to be playing better. And the stats are what they are. People are saying the analytics. And I'm saying, if you think counting whether Jaylen Brown was playing or not and whether the Celtics won or not is analytics, man, my 6-year-old daughter can do that stuff, right? So
Tom, it's really striking. Like, you had a stat in here. You mentioned, you know, Peyton Pritchard and Derek White, and you like broke down. It says no player in the NBA lowers the points that that his teammates score while on the court with him more than Jaylen Brown. He lops off 4 points per 100 from each of the four teammates that share the court with him. That is astounding.
Well, I mean, when you look at the fact that he is not a playmaker, I say that with recognition that in the playoffs against the Sixers, he had more turnovers than assists. And that has happened quite a bit in Jaylen Brown's career. And that's not what you see from superstars. Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, LeBron James, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they don't have negative turnover ratios in playoff series. But Jaylen Brown has had 12 of them in his career, which is the same number of times that he's had a positive assist-to-turnover ratio in a playoff series. So think about that. This happens quite a bit, is that he is not a guy that is going to be the engine of your offense when he makes everybody else around him better. And in fact, you see Peyton Pritchard in the 10 games that he did not have to play with Jaylen Brown, he was putting up star numbers, 25 points per game, 7 assists per game, 5 rebounds per game. Peyton Pritchard, 6'1", putting up big-time numbers, and not just in the games that Jaylen Brown didn't play. He seemed to level up when he was in the same game with Jaylen Brown and just getting those opportunities against second units. Of course, you're going to have more efficient outings. But this is, you know, this part of the explanation why Brad Stevens is willing to make the deal that he did is Bill Simmons has the Ewing theory that sometimes stars are dragging down the team, and maybe after that star player leaves, the team suddenly flourishes without that guy. I'm not saying that the Celtics are going to be a 56-win team next year, but I think there is something to it that he isn't bringing the best out of his teammates, and maybe his defensive impact is not the same as his reputation. And it really is hard to reconcile the star accolades of Jaylen Brown and also the fact that with him not in uniform, Celtics are 36-6 over the last three seasons. So that is astounding. And it's not the case with Jason Tatum. Yes, without him this year, the Celtics were the second seed for the majority of the season. But the on-off splits are not nearly as devastating. When you look at that off-court numbers for Jason Tatum, are not nearly as tough as they are when it comes to Jaylen Brown.
Tom, this is a fascinating conversation. It's great to have you on. You said that you tweeted out that you think this might be one of the bigger trades that where it's a lose-lose scenario. Okay, just your thoughts on why this might be a bad trade, not only for the Celtics, but also for the Sixers.
Well, the Sixers, of course, when you get a guy like Jaylen Brown, you're going to get a high usage, just a tough, bruising, downhill guy. But you're not going to get a good shooter. He is a below average 3-point shooter, not a guy that you can kick out to and on those pull-ups. He's not a spacer like you need around Joel Embiid. And Tyrese Maxey is way more efficient. He can also drop 30 a night like Jaylen Brown. He's going to do it on fewer shots and fewer turnovers. And so you add Jaylen Brown to that mix. They don't have really much shooting outside of Tyrese Maxey. And Joel Embiid is going to want tons of touches. Tyrese Maxey deserves tons of touches. And when you insert Jaylen Brown into the equation and the vengeance that he's going to want to have after getting, you know, traded by the Boston Celtics, I just don't see that he is going to be willing to take a backseat to those guys and take a step back in terms of his usage rate. I think he wants to do more. And so I think he's going to go John Wick on everybody next season, including the Boston Celtics. And I don't think he's going to have the same sort of efficiency. And so I think when you look at Jaylen Brown going into the 76ers organization, he's also going to be expecting a 2-year extension. You can logically say that the Celtics were not willing to go deep on an additional 2 years he's eligible for at $70 million per year, which would, guys, they call me an analytics guy, but again, $180 million coming to Jaylen Brown in the next 3 years, guaranteed, and then you have a 2-year extension with $140 million on top of that. That is $320 million that potentially the Sixers are going to be adding to their payroll for Jaylen Brown if they agree to an extension. So I do think that there is potential for them to regret making this trade down the line if he is not willing to take a back seat when necessary to Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey is as good of a scoring guard as you'll find in the NBA, And I just wonder if he's going to lose a lot of touches and the offense will suffer at times with Jaylen Brown trying to make a statement about where he is in today's NBA.
All right, we're talking to Tom Haberstroh from Yahoo Sports. This is a really a fascinating article, Why Analytics Don't See Philly's New Star as the Elite of the Elite. So I read it, and as I said, you make a very compelling case. The numbers are great, kind of eye-opening and shocking, to be quite honest. But then, you know, afterwards, you step back and you go, but hang on. This guy was the MVP 2 years ago of the finals, and, you know, was excellent during that playoff run. On top of that, he did, without Jason Tatum, bring this team to be the two seed on a year that everyone thought they were going to be awful. How do you reconcile the two, the analytics and then the fact that with our own eyes, we've seen him rise to the occasion when you needed him?
Well, let's also remember that was not a unanimous finals MVP. Okay. He did win the finals MVP, but it was split. Gary Washburn also voted for Jason Tatum, one of the four voters for that finals MVP. So it wasn't like it was a unanimous choice like we see typically in the finals MVP. I will also say that it has been kind of rocky when you look at the overall ledger of Jaylen Brown's playoff career. My brother, big Celtics fan, remembers that 2023 Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Miami Heat, which he had 8 turnovers, and it was a disaster.
Yeah.
And at that time, there were a lot of Celtics fans who were not happy with his postseason performance. And then, of course, washed all of that away the next year in 2024 with that pretty sensational playoff run. But still, it wasn't unanimous that Jason Tatum wasn't the finals MVP that year, splitting the vote 7-4. And I will also say, look, man, it's a tough sport to analyze. 56 wins from a team that lost Jason Tatum for the majority of the year. It's hard to argue that Jaylen Brown wasn't a big help to the Celtics. But there's another side to this story, is that the Celtics continually, year after year, have won without Jaylen Brown. And obviously Brad Stevens is here saying, we believe that we can still be a title contender without Jaylen Brown, despite all of his accolades over the years. Remember, everyone in the NBA, the executives, voted Brad Stevens as the executive of the year this year. And that is a executive award, not a media award. And so the media gave Jaylen Brown second team All-NBA, just one vote away from, or I guess Cade Cunningham had an exemption, or else Jaylen Brown would have been a first team All-NBA. But that's media. The executives, clearly with this return with the Philadelphia 76ers, it was not as frothy of a return as many expected in the media. But I think there is a disconnect between what the media thinks of Jaylen Brown and also what the executives in the market around the league. Clearly, Brad Stevens decided something happened, something had to have changed in the organization, their value of Jaylen Brown, because I am stunned that he was traded for this return. But given all the numbers, and given all the talk about how many times he's been floated in trades, whether it's Kevin Durant or Giannis Antetokounmpo or Kawhi Leonard, what have you, at some point, Brad Stevens and the organization decided to split up their duo. And it is still surprising, even though I think Jaylen Brown is probably more of a top 25 player in my book than a top 10 player. But still, Paul George on that contract, yeah, that's a surprise.
Well, Tom, you got me thinking, and that's a dangerous thing. Because I came in being extremely pissed about this, but you're reminding me of those playoff moments, the times he dribbled off his foot, you know, in big-time spots. Yeah, it's a great article, because at least it gives you the tools that if you need something to help you go to sleep at night as a Celtics fan, this might be the thing. It's a good bedtime story to read, Tom, if anything.
Yeah, I'm going to read it to my daughters here, my 9-year-old and my 7-year-old. We'll see what they think of it.
Awesome, Tom. Hey, thanks Tom. So much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks. It is really
what a hit piece.
It is damning.
A hit piece. Oh my God.
No, but it is.
He just trashed the guy for 15 minutes. Then you said he's a top 25 player. What are you saying, dude?
He just used facts.
But he is a top 25 player.
He gave evidence.
It is damning. Like, it goes and it. You think, oh, you think that's bad? This is bad. Yeah. Oh, you think that's bad? No, this is bad. And he's right. I mean, the one thing that he does is he breaks down the numbers of everybody around him. When he's on the court, everybody's worse.
When he's on the court.
And he compared it to a guy like Jason Tatum.
But we thought they were going to tank the year. We thought they'd be awful. And then they were the two seed, mostly without Tatum. and he won a championship.
And a terrible Eastern Conference.
And he won a championship, and he won MVP of the finals and the conference finals.
The media votes
for
him.
And he's a top 25 player, but somehow he's the worst player in the league.
But you also have to reconcile the times he's been awful in the playoffs. Well, and he's reminding me of that. Yeah. Like, I mean, listen, I think that he was... I was the one who asked him. I was like, with my own two eyes, I saw him like dominate in the playoffs when they won the championship. And this year, you can't write it off. Mm. But then once it came playoff time, I don't know. It is an interesting angle on all this.
Wow.
Does
he work for Brad directly? Or
maybe
the checks go indirectly?
All right, we're going to have Chris Mannix on also as well. And he's got some interesting things to say about what's going on behind the scenes. We are in the Ketchus Law Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win. We'll take your calls next, 617-779-7937. And we're not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes.